We're in Matthew chapter 7. Well, I said that. We're reviewing the first 17. You're in God's house. You actually said that? So as we continue our review into Matthew, again, last time we did this was during that sea epidemic. So we did most of them online. So I'm not going to review every chapter. And again, the goal is every 3 years, we go through the Gospels over the summer months. So we'll look at chapter 7, another key chapter. Walking the walk, talking the talk. Jesus has expectations. Those are fair expectations. As we read through chapter 7, again, pick up on words or phrases that have always caught your attention or have now just caught your attention as you read through it again. And we can talk about that as well as some of the thoughts that are on the handout. The first section, verses 1 through 6, we have a reader for that, 1 through 6. Paul's got that. All right.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be a measure to you. Why do you look with respect on sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How could you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn to tear you to pieces.
Okay, that's to 7 to 12 also. Reader for that one. Steve?
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock on and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for a bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would do, have them do to you. And for this sums up the law and the prophets.
If someone could take that next longer section, 13 and 14. Lord.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
It's a small section, but yet there's so much rolled into that section, as we'll get into. Tree and its fruit, 15 through 23, that section. John? All right.
Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Okay, and then the last section. Great. All right.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers involved.
Okay, so back to the first section. Any word or phrase, concept, that you have always found fascinating, or just reading it today caught your attention? Because sometimes that happens, right? You know something you're familiar with, and it's that sixth time you read it, and you're going, oh, I didn't catch that before. Anything? I mean, this is a hot topic, right? How often has anybody ever said to you, don't judge me? Perhaps you've said it too? Well, I've had reason. right? So what is not being said with this section, and what is being said? When Jesus says, do not judge, what is he not saying, and what is he saying? Okay, it's not just with words, but how we act towards people, right? We come across judgmental, judgy, all right? Great. That he is the judge, ultimately, right? Lisa?
And he has given us the Ten Commandments, and we are to share those with children our children that we're teaching for some reason, or even each other if we need to.
Right, the importance of teaching the commandments, reminding ourselves of the commandments. If we're not following them, and yet we expect others to follow them, you know, especially children, right? They pick up on if something's not right. Steve?
You can't judge the heart, but you can judge the actions. And that's as far as you can go. And you still have to say, as a sinner, I'm telling you, you're doing something wrong. You can't say that I'm perfect.
Right? So that gets into the whole part of make sure you take out the speck, the plank in your own eye before you start going after the speck in somebody else's eye. Right? James touches on the example of judging. Remember the example in James offhand comes to mind? The warning he gives. How was the congregation being judgmental that James was addressing? Right, James, I mean, he's talking to those who are, this person looks wealthy and you know, you go by the outward appearance, yeah, we have a seat for you, but someone who doesn't look, you know, so kosher, up to our standards, no, you know, we don't give them a time of day. And so the warning to not be judgmental, and just because someone doesn't look or act or talk like us, maybe we get uncomfortable, right? That's understandable, but not to allow our uncomfortableness now turn into judgmentalism and then a standoffish approach to people. And right, when it comes to judging, we are to judge things based on the Word of God. So yeah, we do have a right to call out sin, but to speak the truth in love. What he's not saying then is, yeah, don't be judgmental again based on personal preferences. And how often, unfortunately, do we get caught up in personal preferences, and then that causes rifts and so forth. Not just in the church, but also in the family.
Study Bible, and instead of talking about don't judge, so
Right? Yeah. That whole hypocritical judgment comes in, putting that false facade, wearing a mask, like we're better than. And so we put others down so we can build ourselves up. That goes also to the eighth commandment, oftentimes why we gossip. So we can tear somebody else down and we look better. And so the Lord does know what he's talking about, because again, instead of building up, we end up tearing down people. So important words, do not judge, but then we correct people when they say, don't judge me. Well, if it's something to do with God's word, I do have the right to speak up.
How does the office of the keys and the confession apply to that? I see it that we have the authority from Christ to bind someone into sin or forgive them.
Sure.
If there's no repentance, you can really say, I bind you into sin.
Right?
So that's not...
That's not being judging. Right. No, this is... That we do have a right to, right? To call out sin with the hope of announcing repentance, forgiveness. What we don't want to do is become judgmental. And only certain people can be among us, or we can associate with certain people. Right? And also judgmental, because not really, in the big scheme of things, one sin is not really more damnable than another sin. All sin leads to hell. Sometimes we can come across, though, that your sin is worse than my sin. So yeah, do not judge, but people will use it as an excuse to live the life that they want to live, contrary to God's word. Well, now we have a right, as Ezekiel the watchtower, to call them out on that. If they refuse, that's on them, right? Make sure we take out the speck. But before we do that, let's make sure we take the plank out of our own eye. Verse 6, what is meant by what he says there? Do not give dogs what is sacred and so forth. Throwing pearls to pigs. You ever thrown pearls to pigs?
Don't give something to somebody that has no hope of being, you know, helped at all. You know, if I give sacred thing to a dog, he's not going to save the dog's soul. Nor, you know, the pigs the same way. And yes, the other part is they can turn and kill you.
Okay. What else, John?
Yeah. You know, I kind of wonder about it, because if we take the approach that that person's not worthy of us telling the Bible, you know, of giving the gospel to, because they're just going to throw it away, then I don't think that's what Jesus wants us to do. Sometimes, you know, I almost look at this as, don't throw your pearls to pigs. Don't say, I'm okay, you're okay, type stuff. Because don't water down the Bible. You know, don't water down the law, mm-hmm. so that you make people feel okay, and so they go on their merry way sinning, thinking they're okay. But if we think of all the people who would never heard about Christ if the missionaries or those speaking would say to themselves, that guy's not worth it. They're just going to, you know, he's Putin. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, so, right, I mean, that would go contrary to what you just said earlier. Do not judge. Now, if we're going to withhold the gospel somebody based on their outward appearance or their actions, then yeah, now we're being judgmental, right?
So how can we judge who the pigs are, but we're not supposed to judge those people?
Right, well, okay, just a second, Ellie.
But Jesus also said, shake the dust off your sandals and move on.
Right.
You get someplace and you're totally rejected. They are not into that in any way, shape, or form. But you've tried.
Right.
But you're not going to get anywhere. So spend your time and go elsewhere.
There is part of that, that common sense approach, right? Yeah, so he did say, sometimes it may come, do you shake the dust off your feet? Throwing pearls to pigs. So common sense, you know, when they got the Harley Fest in South Dakota and so forth like that. So let's set up a tent right in the middle, you know. Is that the time to set up a tent in the midst of that situation that's going on? You know your circumstances. Jesus isn't saying you got to jam the gospel down people's throats, right? So there are maybe situations when I will talk and when I will hold back. Not every situation is always ready for a conversation. And how we approach a conversation. Someone mentioned too when Scott, I'll leave his last name out of it, came out of a lifestyle contrary to God's word, and now is just talked, you know, how do I live with that, and how can I encourage others to realize that this lifestyle was not right? And someone asked him, well, do you witness to those that you used to hang around with? And he said, no, because that's suicide. I'm a traitor in their eyes. So he can encourage someone else. This is what you need to keep in mind is you witness to them, but I personally cannot go to those people and witness. I mean, here again, Jesus didn't say you have to go and be a martyr. But if it does come to that, be faithful to the point of death. But he didn't say you and I have to go and commit spiritual suicide. I mean, think of all the people who left Jerusalem when persecution struck and how the Lord used that. Sometimes we have this misnomer that I need to go in and die intentionally for Jesus. Well, it may come to that, but he didn't say you have to go die intentionally for Jesus. That doesn't make you a better Christian. Contrary to, right, another religion that says if you die, well, then you get... No, that's not what Jesus said. Some of this is uncommon, applying common sense to ministry.
I may say something and reject it for the way I say it. Somebody else can come along and say it in a better way.
Right.
And it might be received that way.
Sure. Or accepted. Yeah, again, know your circumstances. Right.
So that's kind of don't get pulled to pigs giving faith and stuff.
Yeah.
God just make it to their
to their level, to their right. So yeah, like again, if they're new to the faith, you don't take them through Revelation right away because that could actually harm their faith. So you take them through the Gospels to build up their faith. You know, like there were many things that Jesus withheld from the Pharisees. Not that he was intentionally trying to withhold it, but he knew that they were deaf to what he had to say. In a sense, that'd be throwing pearls to pigs. Yeah, giving to the dogs. Again, what do we give what is sacred? So again, if something, think of the dogs at that time too, they were the wild animals. So would you give the best of the meat to the dogs to eat? It doesn't mean you may not give them something. So part of that is what Carolyn was saying. Know what you are giving to those you're talking to. Know who you're talking to. How you talk about law, how you talk about gospel. Realize that some people may not even be receptive to it. And so there might become a time where you shake the dust off your feet. That doesn't mean someone else, like Ed's point, later on, won't have an opportunity to share with them.
I think what Jesus is touching on here also is he's entrusted us with a precious gift.
Right.
The gift of salvation. The gift of needs to be shared. And use that gift, you know, prudently. Don't waste its values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't want to you don't share with the dogs what is valuable. You don't give to pigs what is very valuable. Pearls are valuable. You know, why would you do that?
Right.
You know, so I think the point is, you know, take care of the gift you have and share it
you know, prudently, you know, and make sure you're doing it with the right people at the right time.
And there is a time to move on. Yeah, I guess identify who the dogs are. Who are the pigs that he's referencing? Because he's not talking physical dogs or physical pigs, right? I mean, it might be someone who has abandoned the gospel. Right? But if you get so focused in on that you lose the bigger picture or get caught up in that too. Right? Evaluating our priorities, who are we talking to, time and place that we communicate the gospel. It all plays into that. There's not one right answer, but realizing Jesus, while he's sending the disciples out, he's preparing them to send them out, do not judge, right? Everyone has an opportunity to hear the gospel, but recognize there will be some people who don't want to hear that gospel. That's not on you. That will fall back on them. Ask, seek, and knock. Anything jump out of you in that section? What's the takeaway for you? Ask, seek, knock.
That you need to be consistent in the Word. Reading it, studying it.
Okay, be persistent in being connected to the Word and praying. Okay. Right?
The Holy Spirit will guide you when you're trying to speak the gospel to others.
Alright, so the importance of being in the Word so the Holy Spirit can fill us up and then guide us in our prayer requests and also guide us as we look to share the Word. Again, are we sharing the Word in a situation that's maybe pearls to pigs, or are we sharing the Word with many people will be receptive? Again, we don't know. Just from the get-go, if they'll be receptive or not. But certain situations, we can kind of have an idea this is probably not the best time or best place to do something.
I know when you try to explain this Bible passage to kids, because it sounds very much like, well, you just ask and it's going to be given to you. So like I want a new bike or a new thing.
Right. Right? And that's really the key. Remember, who's he talking to? He's talking to believers, right? So encouraging them in their walk of faith. Again, they were just coming out of the Pharisaical approach to religion and to God, and so instructing them what is truly God's will for their lives. And on prayer, yeah, many people have that. I asked God for it, he didn't give it to me. Well, he has other examples as well about persistence in prayer. The disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. And the primary example of that prayer was pray for the spiritual. So believers, right, if we're of the faith, what will our prayers be based on? And through the model prayer, he reminds us, you can ask for the physical, but even with that physical, doesn't he provide? Yeah.
No, but coming out of faith, he asked for a very practical thing that he needed as a king. And God knew that
right? So that prayer for wisdom. You know, the Lord's Prayer, primary is for an increase of faith and how to use that faith and how to live that faith, knowing that He'll give us our daily bread. But we want to pray and ask Him to continually give us our daily bread, to not take for granted that He is the source. But does that mean it's always going to be the high-end foods? You know, it may be the basic nutrition foods. So it's getting our will to line up with God's will, bottom line. And just because He doesn't answer your prayer specifically doesn't mean He hasn't heard your prayer or has not answered it in a way that's best for you.
Yeah, because sometimes when you ask persistently in a prayer, you don't listen and His answer is no. I mean, you know, you don't want to hear that. You want your result, not His.
And we've touched on it before, the country song too, thank God for unanswered prayers. We have in mind what we want. God doesn't answer it that way, and it turns out better. And so then a prayer of thanks. And that's why Paul in Philippians, right, he can say, we are to pray always, continually. And as just before that, he reminds us what our prayers are to consist of. You know, we are to thanksgiving and present our requests to God, prayer for others, intercessions, and so forth. Pray for those in authority, and on and on. Verse 12, what's the lesson there in verse 12? Yeah, the golden rule. How do you want to be treated? Treat others. You know, the eighth commandment, the explanation. Luther captures that. Important. If you want kindness, then show kindness. Respect. Love God, and that love for God will show itself in a love for one another. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So, how we treat people, remember that's how we want to be treated. Which then falls in line with, do not judge. Do you want people to judge you? Because you parted your hair to the left versus the right? Because you wore a tie, didn't wear a tie? Right? So do not judge. But when it comes to the, again, breaking God's commands, yes, we do have a responsibility to call out, and He'll get to that. The narrow and wide gates, kind of following this train of thought that he has. What's the difference between the two gates, obviously?
One leads to heaven, one leads to hell.
That's succinct, right? And what's the picture then with the narrow gate? Okay, so what's a Bible passage that demonstrates that the way to heaven is narrow?
It's more like a turnstile. You have to have a ticket.
Okay. And who's the giver of the ticket?
Christ.
Okay. And, all right, how else can you view it as narrow? One way, right? Yeah, the way, the truth, and the life, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? And a lot of what ifs and the good works. But there is only one way. But society doesn't want to view it that way. But there is only one way to heaven. Narrow is that. And to stay on that narrow gate isn't easy either. Without the Spirit, we can't do it. And so it goes back to our prayer requests. Are we praying for those things which will keep us on that narrow way? So no apologies for recognizing that. How can you tell if you're on the right path?
My wife was yelling at me.
I won't repeat that one. Okay, Penny.
You gotta be in God's word, because that's the only way you'll know what His terms are for you to enter that gate.
Okay, you're connected to his word. Because Peter emphasizes, make your calling and election sure. Well, how can we do that? If we're not saved by our works, how can I make my calling and election sure? Yeah, being in the word. As you examine your life, are you doing the things that God requires? Again, not perfectly, because we're not. But is that your desire and your goal? And so there are ways that we can tell we're on that path. But that doesn't mean there's a time to stand still and pat ourselves on the back, because anytime we stand still, we're sliding backwards ever.
Just stay in the one thing that remains consistent, which is the Bible.
Yeah.
What should it be consistent?
Right? Yeah, stay in that which ought to be consistent. It is. The word won't remain consistent, that we treat it as something that is to be consistent. So that's how we can test if we're on the right track. And so that is a serious question, which James, again, will point out to people who say they're of faith, but when it comes to the third commandment, I'm not seeing fruits of that. And then when it comes to other commandments, man, are you seeing fruits of that? And even if you are seeing fruits to the other commandments, again, it's not by the commandments that we're saved. Dan.
Well, I heard this earlier in the week at a meeting. If you don't respect the first three, the remaining commandments really don't mean much to you.
Right? Right, because if you have the first three in place, it's easier and put the rest of in place. But often our relationship's out of whack because we're focused on 4 to 10, but we're missing 1 to 3. If 1 to 3 is in place, that'll help 4 through 10. So yeah, good reminder. Again, we can look in the mirror that way. And then a tree and its fruit, the warning, and why is it given? The warning is, Penny?
False prophets, and being aware of them, they're everywhere. They're in the church, they're in society, they're in the government, they're wherever you look, there's going to be a false prophet.
Yep. And with that term, false prophet, it gives an indication where to expect those. You know, within the church, you can expect, unfortunately, false prophets. And so the warning, be aware, sheep's in wolves' clothing. But he looks good in his tight jeans, so he must be okay. You know, he enters church every week off a swing that's connected to the roof. You know, that's how one guy enters his worship service. I was trying to see if the roof was strong enough to do that, but I didn't want to test it. Fly in from the balcony each week. Is it going to break this week? I don't know. Come out of the cave. Oh, the cape, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get one of those squirrel parachutes. There you go. Nothing new under the sun. And again, we apply those verses to us. There were false prophets then. There's still false prophets today. We recognize them by the fruit. Again, are they preaching and teaching and living God's word consistently, or is something astray? Like to Everett's point, it should not change. It should be consistent. If they're changing the word, then that's a red flag. And then 22, another warning there. Just because you say, Lord, doesn't mean you're getting in. So it's not just going through the motions. It's not just saying the words. It's the faith, Romans 10. It's with our mouth that we can confess, but it's with our heart that we believe. And how does that become evident? Through our mouth, through our actions. And that leads then to the wise and foolish builders. Again, we know, right, when Jesus was talking, he didn't put these subtitles in there, and he didn't put the verses in there. He's flowing, so it's all logical, one point building on the other. Therefore, based on what's all been said, everyone who hears these words, what makes you a wise person? Practical person. What makes you wise?
Build on Christ.
Build on the solid ground. That's the foundation. Not just hear the words of Christ. So like James, I'm mentioning James a lot, I know, but do not really listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't be like that person who looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he or she sees. So when we're in the word, we hear that word, and then we reflect that word. Because what's the rain in a sense? What can we say is rain that comes into our life and tries to knock the foundation? Problems. False prophets. Judgy people, or being judgy. I mean, everything that he's just said before can all fall into that rain, and any of those things can chip away at that foundation. So if we're not staying in the word and building on that word and living that word, we'll get washed out. Ken Ham answers in Genesis, has an illustration where he has two castles and their cannons being thrown against those castles. And the one castle is starting to water down the word and so forth. So what happens is those cannonballs, which have different labels on them, you know, like woke and homosexuality and so forth, what happens as the foundation of that castle is not maintained? It crumbles, right? But the castle which maintains its foundation and those same cannonballs come against it, what happens? Yeah, they bounce off, right? So just that, the importance of maintaining the foundation. And so when those things come, they bounce off. And so what was the crowd's reaction as Jesus is talking to them? They're amazed. I mean, this was refreshing stuff. I mean, because he is speaking to them like sheep without a shepherd. And it wasn't, you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to worship the Pharisees. And, you know, the Pharisees, they were the judgmental ones. Look what we all do. You commoners, you don't do any of this stuff. So we're way above you. Jesus is right there with them. And he's reminding them, it's always been about God and remains on God. It's not about what you do or don't do that gets you in heaven. But what you do matters as a reflection of you're on your way to heaven. Anything else in chapter 7?
Your words must be put into action. You know, if the words are not put into action, your words mean nothing.
Right.
The words you hear and you learn, they need to be put into action.
Right? The lifestyle needs to match words and actions. Not just walk the walk, but talk the talk, but walk the walk as well. Let's move to chapter 10. Fits in with today's readings. No subtitles to break up this chapter. Chapter 10. All right, we got the first section there, first four verses. The disciples who he calls out and specially trains. Disciples, one who learns from another. We're always learners. Let's look at 5 through 10. We have a reader for 5 through 10. Lisa.
These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep.
Okay, and then 11 through 16. Next section there. Ryan, okay.
Whatever town you go to, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until they leave. As you enter the home, give him a greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet and leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, there will be more of her
Okay, 17 to 23. 17 to 23. Barb, okay.
Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes.
All right, 24 through 31. Okay. Okay, 32 through 39. Yep, Steve, okay.
Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be his own members of his household. Anyone who loves their fathers or mothers more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
Okay, so if you're the disciples and Jesus is talking to you and he's getting ready to send you out, and you're hearing these words, what's your reaction? I'm going fishing. Wow.
I'll cut the next bus and the next prophet that comes along with, you know.
Again, if we just read it off the page, oh yeah, there's boom, here they go. But is there some thought process?
The children of Israel trying to bring them back first.
Right? So there is that. You're going to the lost sheep of Israel, and some will say, well, see, he's just for Israel. No, like Romans 1, right? First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The gospel has always been meant for all. Prophet Isaiah mentions that. But yes, there's this primary concern first to go after the lost sheep of Israel, the chosen ones who should know better and have been lost. And what a good place to start. I mean, you're going to the people who should be receptive. I mean, they have a building block on that. And that's the same with like our elders making calls today, too. It should be easier to start with calling on a member who's even become inactive than a complete stranger. Just because, again, there's some relationship there. You've been a part of the church. You still claim to be a part of the church. So in a sense, Jesus was introducing them, breaking them in, and sharing the gospel. Plus, the need was great. What? How did he prepare them? And what else did he do to prepare them for the mission?
Each difficult task he presents to them is daunting. Yeah. He's followed by a promise.
Okay. Yeah, good point, right? So he doesn't just say, hey, it's all going to be okay. He gives them a heads up. You can expect X, Y, and Z, and here's how you can react and get through X, Y, and Z. Remembering, the Spirit is right there with you, and will give you the words to speak.
Well, the dependence on God and the love of God that left them. I want that back. And this is sobering. This is when you father against mother. I mean, this is, it'd be tough to hear.
Right? So this is what you're going to encounter, and we still see it taking place today, unfortunately. Even more so with families going different ways, different directions, because someone else has become the main influence in their life. And so when it comes to what we see going on in the world and even the churches, it really shouldn't take us back by surprise. And yet it does take us back just because, man, to be in it is heartbreaking. But there again, the Lord said such things will take place. But take heart. I am with you.
But there's the warning there is watch out, because in Sodom and Gomorrah they couldn't find 10 good people.
Right.
It was all destroyed. You don't find me 10 righteous people, I'll say
right.
They couldn't.
And why would it be more bearable for these people than for Sodom and Gomorrah residents? There was more warning.
I was gonna say, well, the Jews had the word of God.
Yeah. Right? He didn't say they get off the hook. You know, some will say that, what about those who don't have an opportunity? Everybody, in a sense, has that opportunity sometime throughout history. You can make a case for. So it's not that they will not get the punishment from God, but for those who knew what they lost, it will be more unbearable for them.
It's reminded of the story that Paul used to, when he'd come to a new town, wouldn't ask about the hotel, but ask about the jail, because he knew where he was going.
Yeah.
We have to face that. It's not always a pleasant trip.
Right? Right, especially outside of our country, but even happening in our country. Good reminder of the Lord wants us to go on a mission. He prepares us for that mission. They weren't to worry about what to accomplish. Just plant the seeds. Let the results be in the Lord. Again, don't worry about your physical well-being. I got you covered there too. He would move people to be generous toward them. And as they go out, 16, right? Go out, be shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves. Kind of carrying that whole theme about be careful not to throw pearls to pigs and so forth. Know your audience, time and place. And as you are dealing with the people of this world, you don't have to shrivel up, but also don't act like them. Be innocent. Rise above. Just for the sake of time. 28, who are we to be afraid of? God, right? Yeah, a human being can take your life, but they can't send your soul to hell. God, yeah, body and soul. But we also know that we don't need to be afraid of him, but again, how often do we maybe back off of a situation because we're more afraid of the human being? Here's where that shrewd as snakes comes in, throwing pearls to pigs comes in, apply common sense, but may our motive be pure. That's what's the emphasis there. And then we'll take up 37 and following as part of our summary before we get into the new section. We'll do that, Lord willing, next week. Fathers among us, grandfathers, blessings on your day. Again, it's not just one day, every day you are blessed and are to be a blessing. And to go and live your light, the light Jesus has given to you. Thank you.